All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome. Actually, figuring out how all this stuff works. Every time I host when Brian's out, we're going to try to just get 1% more professional. Today, Cole, Evix, and Chili are joining me, and we have so much Final Fantasy 14 news to get to. But first of all, Cole, welcome. What have you been up to?
Hey, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. For me, I've just been grinding on the YouTube videos. I have been doing a little bit of work on my website. Hopefully, I'll talk about that later. Maybe give me one month more. And yeah, just chilling out and hanging out and enjoying Final Fantasy 14, doing a little bit of Ulti Prog. And yeah, just really excited for all the new news.
Chili, what about you?
I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Thank you again to Square Enix for the code on stream over on Twitch. And I've been actually cutting that up and putting it on our YouTube channel for once. And been getting thumbnails being made, and I'm trying to push our YouTube a little bit. So I've been trying to grow our YouTube and our Twitch. So it's been a big grind with 7 and 14. So yeah, I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, today we have like a whole bunch of news and articles and interviews coming out around 14. It's not drama based. It's like actually Yoshi P interacting with the community. So we don't have to focus on, you know, which parser is yelling what at which parser.
I mean, there could be some drama based stuff in a way, kind of.
But it's pretty good. So I think we'll start out with this Reddit article. I don't know how to show it on screen, so I do apologize to those of you that watch the show that Brian normally handles this. But over on Reddit, we'll hopefully have links down in the description below. There's a Yoshi P interview that was translated on the Final Fantasy 14 Reddit for us. So it was a Famitsu interview, but thankfully the Reddit community, who is amazing, and in our streams, you can always go !translate to get there. That in the Discord, on the Reddit, there are just some incredible people in the community that translate for us. And MKLBY, thank you so much. Have you guys read this already?
Not that specific Reddit thread, but I have gone over it just a little bit.
Okay.
You haven't read the Reddit thread itself, but I've read a lot of the stuff that they've planned already. A lot of it.
Well, just to sum this up, it was effectively Yoshi P and the WFS mobile designer Shimoda Shouda, who I believe was behind Dissidia and other games, was just kind of a back and forth. And we've seen this before where Yoshi P sat down with designers of other games, people he's had a long relationship with, and they get a chance to kind of talk about a number of things. And it's usually just some insight into how the game kind of is usually going to run. But the thing that is most Final Fantasy 14 relevant here is that he said he has some regrets on making Final Fantasy 14 less stressful. And so he is saying that a video game should, of course, have stress. And so to kind of explain that a little more, he said how you balance that is extremely difficult. His example is that in a side-scrolling game, if there were no holes that you could fall through and you missed a jump, yeah, the game would be a lot less stressful, but it would also no longer be fun. And so he would like to restore some of that in Final Fantasy 14. Now, I'm not a Savage Raider. I don't do Ultimates. But I think the Savage and the Ultimate, this expansion, have been plenty stressful. But it sounds like he's talking about the general baseline, something to overcome this expansion. And so like relics come to mind as something that just there really wasn't any. And actually, like it was so easy that I didn't do it. So I don't know if you guys have completed all your relics, but like
I've completed mine, but I have no desire to really grind for other ones, because the fact that it's just tome based means that as soon as Dawn Trail drops, I can just use poetics.
Yep.
And you have unlimited poetics, so I don't need to really grind for other ones unless I really get them by accident. Like I've got some of them higher up just by running content, and I've had to drop comedy on stuff.
And like, we had already been told they were going to bring back field operations. So I think this one will get addressed. Are there other areas that jump to mind, Chili, about like beyond just the
I think role? Probably the same as you, Carl, is probably going to say the same, but I feel like the Alliance raids could be a little bit more difficult than they currently are.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I liked that in Evil East, like, people could just die. I like when there's three groups doing something with a dog. I like math bosses. I like these moments. My favorite time to run an Alliance raid is the day it comes out, because we still get the loot. Like, very rarely does a group not clear. But I love that, like, 40 people can die along the way. Like, that is the excitement of Alliance raids.
I can relate.
You know, like, so I think Deliberum was really fun in that way, that everybody was kind of doing their own thing. And as long as there was a general competence at any one given moment, we had enough people alive to make it, but it could just be shenanigans. So I think Alliance Raids is a really good area where maybe we could raise the stakes a little bit. This game lacks, there's like this big gap between I'm just going to sit in a hunt train or I'm just going to run my dungeon roulette, almost these mindless activities that there's very little risk of kind of falling through a hole, as he put it. And then on the other end, there's all these people who are like, well, you should just do Savage. Like, you should just do Ultimate, which is this like huge leap in what's expected of you. And so I think it would be nice to see the game have some areas where Alliance Raids would be good. Exploratory Zones, yeah, really good.
I feel like there could be a good balance for Relic, though. Like, because I know a lot of people, one of the things they like about the current Relic weapon that's, you know, a lot of people don't like is the fact that it's tomes. So that means that if they do have multiple jobs that they like to play, it's easier for them to get the Relic and are able to gear up multiple alt jobs that they, you know, that they can swap between when they want to. Like, they're not doing Savage Raiding with it, but like, they want to be geared up enough that they don't feel too bad when running an extreme or something like that. Like, they might not need it, but personally in their head, they feel, oh, I want this so I can be a better player. So I feel like a good way to balance this with the new Relic in Dawn Trail is make the first time you do each step be something that's a little bit more grindy. So like, as we mentioned, the field operations, and you also had like the books, you had the fates, you had all that lot. Make the first time you do the step that, and then any other times that you want to do that same step, make it so that you can either do the grind or purchase the required items with tomes on the second time you do that step.
Yeah, I've seen a number of people argue both directions over the years that it should either get harder as you go, because that way the collectors get something that grinds, but the people who just want to dabble in the system, their first one feels almost free, kind of like MSQ level, like it's just kind of handed to you. And then I've seen an argument come more from what you're arguing, saying, let's make the first one hard, and then people who want to keep going, it should just maybe get easier and easier or drop down to kind of a flat level.
So well, no, I'm not just saying just make it easier, but also make it optional. So like that way, sure, if you want to do the grind, have the grind be the main option. But then if you want to, then maybe like, maybe you can do half of it with the grind and then you use half your tomes and then like,
yeah,
or whatever.
Recognizing that this game is very alt heavy for people that play a lot and don't take breaks, it's something the game really struggles with. Like, that starts to relate to kind of the Savage gear. Like, if your first set had to be acquired at full tokens, but then subsequent sets could take a fraction of it, that general idea of like, we can remove some of the item barrier or open up the number of sources so that as you want to work on alts, you have more options. Because if you find it fun the first time, that doesn't mean you'll find it fun the second time. I think one of the hard things about the Relic in particular is what Izzy's saying. You know, Izzy's done all the Relics on content. Izzy has a ridiculous number of accomplishments in this game by every definition of the word. And it feels like every expansion, everybody always hates whatever the Relic grind is, which is the one thing that all Relics have in common. But true, what is interesting is we can look back and we can say, okay, but how have they aged? And I think that the Endwalker Relics are going to age into something where everybody kind of has them, because you just kind of yeet poetics into them. So they'll be the easiest to acquire after, because as Chilino, it'll just be poetics. As opposed to like Eureka has aged just so much better. On patch, Eureka was like splitting the community into 20 million different ways to hate the game. And it has just aged into something so beautiful.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Like, people are still running BA all the time. Like, there's always going to be a group in that. And it's sweet to see how that content, even though it's, what, 6 years old or something like that? God, that makes me feel old. But it's still so popular. It's like, there's always a BA run. There's always life in there. And I'm like, that's amazing.
I jumped in over the weekend just with somebody who was trying to get some stuff for BA. And we ended up sitting there for about an hour and a half just doing bunny fates with a load of people to make money. There was people there at a random time on the weekend doing leveling in fates. I made 400k in about 2 hours, so thanks, bunnies.
Oh, nice. Right? Those bunnies have cash. Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Now, on this subject,
if you ever want easy money, do bunnies.
On the subject of relics, guys, I don't know how else to get access to this. Strawberry Season over on Twitter. I'll retweet it if you follow us on Twitter. I'll repost this. And so if you want to go find it there, definitely go give that a like. Thank you so much to Emily over there for posting this. But they have taken some pictures out of a physical magazine where there was an article that confirms that Yoshi-P effectively, to just TLDR what is a big, long article about, like, what would you wish you'd done differently in the past? But he liked the way kind of the Zodiac relics kind of aged, in that there was something where people go, I remember what that was like. I remember overcoming that. Doesn't necessarily want to copy him exactly, but it does seem like he believes that while people may complain in the moment, that there is something cherished about this kind of on-patch relic grind. And maybe it can result in something like Chili saying, where we go back and we visit it later because it either provides skill or there's other things to grind there. But what would you guys like to see from the relic system, assuming that it's not a direct carbon copy of anything we've seen before?
Definitely. Like, I don't want to, like, take the lead on this too much, but I also, like, am super opinionated on this. I actually think that, like, what was said before is, like, this relic series is unfortunately going to become a little bit of a poetics dump, and right now it's really devolved into, hey, just join the hunt train, grind the hunt trains, catch as many as you can. Hey, if you can hop from Gilgamesh to Siren's hunt train, even better. And unfortunately, that's definitely killed a lot of the hype and the excitement, because I compare it to, like, Eureka, which I did do on content all those years ago, and I remember going through Pagos, and trust me, I'm not saying that it was the perfect thing. It's like that winter map is forever burned into my memory alongside those little, like, how do you call it, like, winter chickens jumping around. It had problems, but I definitely think that that was a really big relic to actually get. Like, when you got it, it felt like such an achievement. Like, when you made it to Hydatos and, like, were actually there, actually able to access, like, BA and everything, it felt like such a monumental achievement. And I think that that is something that I really hope that future relics can capture. Actually, I hope, like, in general, that feeling can be caught in all sorts of content. I think another part of it was, like, Boja and Eureka definitely felt like MMO content inside of the MMO, if that even makes sense. It's like,
I mean, at least with Eureka, they were trying to emulate the feeling of Final Fantasy XI.
Yeah.
Which is funny, considering the Alliance raid that's coming up in the Doldrow.
Right? Right? As soon as I saw that, I'm like, wait, what?
I'll admit, though, I still haven't done DRS. I'm still too nervous to jump into that. One day.
Yeah, I think it's good.
I don't mind one step being particularly hard, as long as not all the steps are identical. So if I could just build on what you said there.
At least you don't need BA or DRS for your relic. So it is optional for the mount. And it's to also upgrade the gear, right, in Eureka. But it's the gear, when it's upgraded, is only good for BA and slash Eureka, which you're already kicking by then anyway. So
I think DRS was also to dye the armor, so a lot of people really cared. Like, the range set was like this, like, judge armor. It looked so cool with the cape. I love it. But yeah,
so if I could just build on Cole and just say, okay, like, that's an accepted part of this. What I would like to see is, I like the exploratory zones, but I like that there's a step that says, okay, and go run 5 dungeon roulettes, or go do some triple triad. Like, I don't care what it is. Just take me into this whole game. Because the game is so big. It's very easy to hear the very loud voices, because they tend to be, they're very focused and they're very passionate. When there's a group of people that say, you can only like this game for story, it's the only valid reason to like it, and anybody who likes it for any other reason is wrong. Keeping in mind that, like, you can't play the story for 10,000 hours, and there are people with 10,000 hours of play. So, like, I don't know what they're doing, but it's not valid, I guess. And then there's people that come at it from the other way, and they're like, well, if you're not doing Savage, if you're not doing Ultimate, you're not a real player. And you should just finish up your story and get the hell out, because you're not here for the real reason. And, like, anybody that focuses on their one element of the game and says, my corner of the castle is the best, and without me, it's all worthless. What I like about the relic is that it's an opportunity to go visit all those different portions of the community and hopefully take you into places you haven't been, and just do it briefly. Like, if it made me do 5 chocobo races, that's not so much that people who hate it would be like, I'm just not going to do the relic. they would just push through their five. But there might be somebody who's like, what the hell's chocobo breeding? And like, it's just this whole rabbit hole, because it comes in off-patch content anyway. So the idea that it would invite us into all of this past stuff is what I would like to see from the next Relic. I know there's going to be like an exploratory zone portion.
I will add to this. Have you seen the current Mogtome? Well, the previous Mogtome event that has just recently ended. Did you see what they did for that?
I did not.
I've been on
an alternate character. I have not been on my main character in probably 3 months.
I would love for them to do something like they've done with the Mogtome event in a way. Basically, they added a new tab inside the collections tab where, you know, before it was just like do dungeons and then you got your Mogtomes, or do so-and-so and you did your Mogtomes. Yeah, you got your Mogtomes and stuff like that for well, they actually had a new UI where you could do like either a daily event, well, a repeated event, should we say, with like the dungeons and all that lot. Then you actually had a weekly event, which was then differently picked raid. And I think something else that you could do weekly to get bonus tomes on top of the normal tomes.
Yeah.
And then you had like a special event where you could get more bonus tomes. Or then you had the Ultimog event, which was like one event that lasted the whole event. You could do it once and then you got more tomes on top of that, which was ocean. If you did ocean fishing, you got 50 tomes if you got a certain amount of points during the event for the Ultimog event. So if you did the ultimate challenge, you got 50 plus the 5 for doing 4,000. So stuff like that was really cool. And it was a nice UI. Yeah. Something like that would be great for Relic if they wanted different options to be able to get it.
I just assumed it was going to be like every other event, so I just didn't even switch to try it out. I'm doing some stuff on an alternate character right now for like a YouTube project I'm working on. So I have intentionally not been logging onto my main. I'm bummed I missed that. That sounds awesome.
It will be coming back at some point. We don't know when exactly, because they said that was part one of part two. So we don't know when part two is. My guess is maybe April, May, because we'll probably be just after the Final Fantasy 16 event. Yeah, as he said, there was daily rewards, weekly rewards, one-time rewards, and spammable rewards.
Well, I don't want to miss the next one. So anybody who's been kind of on hiatus like I have, come on back for that next one. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, 1 second. I know people can Google it, but if it's for you, I'll put in the Discord so you can have a little look at what the UI is like. People can Google it if they want to. It's on the Lodestone. But yeah, that's what it looked like.
Okay. You just posted it in the Discord to me. It looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm asking for. All right. Well, maybe that scratches that itch. Maybe it doesn't have to be tied to Relic. But that's what I'd like. World of Warcraft kind of did that. They have the ability to earn old cosmetics through a system where you can get these little coins from doing a certain number of old raids, doing a certain number. And there's a bunch of things like there's a maximum number of coins you can earn in a month. And you can hit the max by doing only current content, or you could hit the max by doing only old solo stuff, or you could hit the max by only. And so there's so many ways. So seeing games kind of say, our game's gotten really big. And so when people are saying they're bored, how do we, without forcing them to go full clear the game, because they may not want to, how do we just invite them into portions of the game that maybe they've never tried because they thought it was something different than it was, or they didn't know it exists, or they just forgot about it entirely, and kind of invite people into that.
But yeah, they gave you rewards for doing like hunts, treasure maps, triple triad, fishing, like, and then you've had, depending on what you wanted to do. And then it's like, as I said, weekly stuff. And then you had the regular grindy ones that you could do daily. Well, not daily, but you know what I mean? Constantly.
Okay.
So
I actually think, oops, sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say that. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. I think that the like Moogle Tombstone events are freaking fantastic content. They're actually some of the content that I'm most excited to see because it is such an evolution of the gameplay, especially with the new UI. It's like, how many players could you say Lords of Verminion to, and they would actually just blank? I'm betting 80% plus.
It's one of the rarest mini pets in the game to beat the final PvE kind of challenge. And you can beat all the PvE levels with a single minion. So like, it's not hard. I read Panda all the way to the bottom, and that's not the only minion that can do it. I read Panda the whole event, and then you get like a little coils related minion. And it's one of the rarest minions in the game as far as percentage of players that have it. it's relatively rare because I think people just maybe they try the game one time and they're like, this is awful.
I think it's also if you're a console player, like I've tried it on laptop with mouse and keyboard. I find it's reasonably playable there. But if you're trying on controller.
Okay.
No. And it's just not fun. No.
I really kind of liked Lords of Vermin, but mind you, I'm not on like controller, but I thought it was so cool. I'm just like, wait, this is like kind of like a MOBA-esque game inside of the like Final Fantasy 14, which I didn't know about it until multiple years into playing. And I'm like, wait, this is a thing. I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy. So seeing like an evolution about like the Mogtome events though, taken from just being this time-limited event and maybe making it kind of like the bi-colored gemstones, making sure that I say that correctly because my YouTube section usually goes wild with that, but just like a ongoing recurring event where it's just like, hey, you could like buy like maybe particular glamours, particular housing items, particular titles even, and just like have that running in the background. Like obviously keep the Moogle events because I think that they're really great for bringing in the next patch, but like just this like backdrop of like, hey, just try this weird, different type of content. Do a little weekly thing here. Do a little weekly thing there. Maybe like make it like a monthly rotation about like the quote-unquote Ultimog for it. And I think that that would be really fun because there is so much breadth of content to this game. It's like, how long has it been since we've been to, say, like Korthus Western Highlands and like knocked out some Ixil there? Like, it's been, for me at least, probably 4 years at least.
And it's little things. Doing your weekly glamour thing makes you thankful that you did your old beast tribes, but there's very rarely a moment for that. So there's very like there is lateral progression in this game. You're just not really rewarded for it very often. And so if they have multiple paths and you're like, okay, well, go to an Ixil daily or go to a Sylph daily, and you're like, well, I gotta finish the Sylphs, which is it's the Sylphs of the daily that aged the worst as far as like the flying doesn't help you.
No, it doesn't. So, not like, at all.
Just
You say age the worst, but I still remember when you couldn't really use mounts in those areas because as soon as you weren't on a mount during the tribe quest, they'd cast heavy on you and knock you off. So I will take anything ever back then.
Aroma right. Born was wild.
Now, speaking of new people coming into the community, every couple expansions, we get a major technological boost. The last really big one, truly big, was the ability to jump servers. And that has become something that even Cole referenced, jumping for hunts. That has become core to the way we interact with people. And then we got data center visits, so you can go even further from home. But we have not been able to jump across the pond, EU to NA or NA to EU. And JP feels so far away. There is an upcoming test of cross-region data center travel. What does this do to change all of this? Do you guys think that we get to the point where you can play with anybody anywhere in the world?
I think that we're getting pretty close to that. If we don't successfully get to it, I think that we will be as close as we can get. I think ping is always going to be a factor, although there are definitely like particular things that some people have that I'm not going to mention that help alleviate a little bit of that concern, but like I don't see NA players transferring to Japanese data center and really successfully doing ultimate raids, although I could be easily corrected. I know people are probably already doing in some capacity.
I'm currently progging ultimate raids on NA and I live in the UK, so.
Oh, see? Okay, so like then, hey, you know what? Then like, clearly it's going to work then. So,
yeah,
I mean, if one could back, yeah.
It takes some balancing, but yeah. And by the way, I don't use those softwares either, so because I play on PlayStation, so all of mine is El Natural. So
I believe during the event we're all visiting Oceania. I believe the entire world is collapsing on Oceania.
Yeah,
probably because those servers just still have the capacity for it, and it's a good test. But like, I wonder if there will be groups of players that from different regions, you know, align a group and try some crazy stuff. Be cool to see kind of the first ultimates fall where like we know for a fact
from
all the regions.
I know Angelus is thinking about running solo Palace of Dead as soon as it drops.
Cool.
Like my main worry is going to be not the technical side of it, but the community side of it. Like there is a lot of different ways that people play based on the different data centers. And I'm worried that some of this might involve, it might invoke toxic, right, okay, it might invoke some toxicity, but not on some, for some it'll be on purpose, of course, because it's an online game, of course. It, you know, I'm not going to say it's not going to be on purpose. Some of it's clearly going to be on purpose because it's, you're an online game. It's a mash of players. It's going to happen. But some of it is going to be not on purpose because, like, the from what I've heard, from what I know, I don't know, you know, I don't play on the Japanese data centers, but, like, Japanese players use the Party Finder to run stuff they've already learned. And they use the Duty Finder to learn content. Versus NA, which will then do the complete opposite and don't even touch Duty Finder and use the Party Finder to clear, to learn content. So that's already a basis of a different style of play. And then you've also got the NA that puts markers down and has players work out where they're stood in positions at the start of the fight by putting markers down.
This was
versus EU and Japanese.
This was already an argument that we would have among data center. Just Primal versus Aether, we're going to be incompatible.
Yeah, but that is that. At least Primal and Aether, they kind of did that already. There is a basis of some of that. EU and Japanese, they will use a lot of macros.
Because there was a whole argument that we were incompatible. We would never be able to raid with Crystal players. Like, they're just fundamentally different. They all have an extra thumb and they do weird stuff and can't see because they're all one-eyed. And, like, and then it turns out you can just communicate before the fight and it was fine. I think the bigger concern is, like, A, how do you balance Party Finder? I think that's a really valid point. You know, you have these empty servers and they, Party Finder still being kind of more localized has made a lot of that happen off platform. Now, the advantage of that is we now have PvP like all the time now. So the fact that you can just kind of go somewhere and, like, you know, if it takes a certain mass of people to make a certain activity make sense, we can just all agree to meet at the same place. It does leave out in the cold anybody who doesn't know that you're supposed to download like a third party and figure out where players are. But, like, communication styles feels like it adjusted. We are going to have an issue with language barrier, depending on where they open this up to. Like, they could try to keep it, you know, within certain, I guess, primary languages spoken. I don't know what the primary
language. Even that would be limited because EU isn't just EU is loads of languages.
And how do you guys deal with that? Is there a primary language for raiding, or are there just different raiding communities split across languages? Like, it's not something that impacts me as an NA player.
I remember I played on NA. Remember, but from what I've heard, I feel like a lot, there's like certain data centers and servers that end up primarily being different languages. So, like, I think Moogle at one point was the French server. Like, yes, you could run on it if you were English, but the majority of players were talking French on that server. Like, and then, like, they would, like, split based on language, even though it wasn't official. A lot of the times they would split into their own little communities and servers. Of course, I don't know how that is now that, you know, data center travel's a thing, but, you know,
I just want that being a thing. Can you transfer a character from being NA to EU? Like, can I, while I'll be able to visit there, can I literally pick my character? Like, let's say I got a job in Europe, and so I wanted to go be on a European data center. Can I literally don't know the answer. Like, can I purchase?
I mean, you could probably pay the data center travel, right?
I don't know. Like, I think it helps, perhaps you can't. I think it's two different clients.
Oh, no, it's one client for 14. You just click the little data center button and then pick.
It's not something that's ever impacted me.
I know that WoW is different clients. I know that because I have an NA client and an EU client. But yeah, you can just buy to transfer.
You can. Wow. Fascinating. Yeah. It's not something I literally have just never, like, it's not fine print I've ever needed.
I've never.
This starts to bring up all this interesting, like, well, what if people are transferring so that they have access to housing? Like, there are servers where there are not enough houses for the number of people that want them. And there are servers where there are unused housing plots.
By the way, you also need...
I mean, they're just vacant. Like, if one person puts their name on it, they're going to have it. That typically only happens on the newer servers. It does eventually fill out, but it can take those new servers a very long time to fill out their housing wards as opposed to the more populated servers. As soon as it gets abandoned, it's getting claimed to the next lottery.
By the way, from WoW, if you do want to play on two different characters, one on EU and one on NA, if I'm remembering correctly, you actually need to pay the sub twice.
Yeah, totally different. Totally separate.
That's so frustrating, actually, hearing that.
I think it's because they have publishing arms. So I think it's a money issue.
Yeah.
They're not their own publisher worldwide. They work with, that's my understanding, is that when it comes to like customer service and server administration, that early on when they were expanding so rapidly, they set up a business model where Blizzard is not, it's not operating the same way worldwide. And so then it becomes a question of like, well, then how do we track all this? And so they just set up a model where they're like, well, let's just keep the dollars separate, not anticipating a day where the internet and the players would be interested in crossing those invisible barriers and crossing them regularly. This isn't like one guy got transferred for work. This is Chili plays with us on NA all the time. Like it's, you know, we just live in a different time than we could have anticipated 20 years ago. Okay, cool. Well, I'm excited about that. That happens starting March 25th, and it goes until basically, I think, 7.0 kicks off.
But they did say that it's probably a good idea to transfer your character back to your own server before 7.0 drops, so before the 7.0 maintenance.
Oh, yes. You should be in your house or your free company house or in Charlene, like four servers going live. I would recommend being somewhere that it is safe to log in.
Before the servers go down.
And in my experience, I wouldn't even just log in somewhere. Definitely don't let servers go offline while you're stuck somewhere else. But I also, in my experience, don't like logging into congested areas. So I don't, when an expansion goes live, I don't like being logged out in Limsa. I don't like I like being somewhere that when I log in, my client is only dealing with me personally. I know there's people that try to anticipate where the quest giver is going to be and they want to be there, but like, I just would rather log into the game and my computer gets to take a second. I don't know if it actually helps, but that's just my preference. But speaking of players, we have a PC Gamer article that was published 3 days ago, speaking of new story, where Yoshi P was asked about an alternative starting point for Final Fantasy XIV Dawn Trail. This has been something that gets brought up every expansion, because every expansion, it becomes a harder ask for new players. We're not just asking them to go through a single RPG anymore. We're starting to say, hey, there's this new cinematic. There's this new game. It's going to be amazing. You should come play with me. And they are now, at this point, hundreds of hours behind. And maybe they just want to raid with you. Or maybe they just want to come hang out with you. Maybe they're not even sure. And you're asking them to go through hundreds of hours of largely solo play before they can even join the community. So it's getting to be a harder and harder ask. I don't know if you guys had a chance to kind of scroll through this. But effectively, it's something that they've looked at. But for now, he is still concerned that if the globally acclaimed storyline could be skipped through a function, that the value of Final Fantasy XIV itself will be diminished. So as of now, it's something they've thought about. It's something they've looked at implementing. But with the launch of 7.0, they're not going to be doing this is where you start. It sounds like the new starting point would probably be 6.1 and just skip you over the Hydaelyn Zodiark. What are y'all's kind of thoughts? Like, this is going to be something that'll spike a lot of controversy in the community.
Yeah, this is very controversial, because I have met so many different players, as I'm sure you guys have too, where it's just like, I'm playing Final Fantasy XIV and coming over from World of Warcraft. All I want to do is raid with my friends. All of this rest, I just don't care about. It's in my way. I just want to raid with them. And I mean, I don't think it's really the best. It doesn't leave, at least from what they've told me, the best taste in their mouth, saying, well, you can just skip it if you pay extra money. It's just, so that's definitely a downfall. But on the other hand, I can say that the story, especially with the revamp of like A Realm Reborn, like it is radically different. It's like the Thousand Maws of Toto Rack Dungeon is completely different, for example, not to mention the entire implementation of the trust system throughout all of it definitely helps take off some edge. But I don't want to like seem political about it, but I see like both sides of it being genuinely correct. Like, I don't think either side is wrong here.
Chili?
I feel like with the ability to use stuff like New Game Plus to allow you to go back and play old story content and maybe introduce a way to get XP from that or some rewards in the future, and the ability to watch old cutscenes and, you know, all that from the inn if you just want to catch up on the story. And they talked about a story catch-up mechanic anyway. I feel like if they offered a story skip for people who purchased Dawn Trail to 6.1 on the purchase of the expansion for one character, I feel like that's a fair and reasonable thing. Like, there is a lot of hours of game that people will have to catch up to get to this new story that's starting in 7.0. And I feel like a catch-up mechanic is a good idea for something that's been over 10 years.
That does sound fair.
I mean, he does kind of talk about how, like, you know, if a new season of a show came out and there was a catch-up, like a little mini blurb, you know, sometimes this happens in Marvel movies. There was like a 15-minute pre-roll when I went and saw Dune 2 this week. It just kind of reminded you who everybody was, and maybe that'd be enough. But it would be better if you went back. It would be better if you watched from season one. It would make a lot more sense. Yeah. But from my perspective, I agree with you guys. There are people in this community that have more hours than almost anybody and are heavily invested. And this game has changed their life and they could not be more appreciative. So like one that comes to mind is Zeno, who never even really tried the story till Endwalker. You know, and so like that's where I fall. I came into this game from World of Warcraft in a Realm Reborn. So people think that like, oh, well, World of Warcraft players, you shouldn't be here. I came a long time ago. I came at 2.0 launch. I was like a month or two after launch and I came in and just wanted to catch up with my 1.0 friends. Single player stories aren't my thing for a lot of the same reasons that kind of Zeno doesn't like it. Like I struggle with the fact that our character is effectively just this invincible watcher. And so I don't connect with it as much as I would maybe a show where there was more on the line. Because I know my character has to survive because the alternative is deleting my character. And so like knowing that's a foregone conclusion always kind of pulled me back. And so I just ignored the story for a lot of years. And I went back in Endwalker. So I did Endwalker story without kind of knowing what was going on. And then I went back and I went all the way through. And so I've now done it all. And I really enjoyed it. I do not think that because
I enjoyed it,
you should force people to play your way. Anyway, nobody should be forced to do Savage. Nobody should be forced to do story. Mm. Nobody should be forced to care about glamour. Nobody should be forced to level crafters or other jobs. It's your call. Like, you shouldn't have to enjoy this game one way just because somebody else does.
But talking about deleting the character, I was still hoping secretly that that Yoko Taro would troll us with that, like with the Nier raids. Because I know it was a big thing that you could delete your character, delete your save at the end of, I can't remember which Nier game it was, but like you could delete your character and then what you did helped like the general community by doing that. So I was really hoping that Yoko Taro would troll everyone and then have like on one of the final bosses, have a little customized cutscene like we kind of have with some of the, you know, with the like the QuickTime events where the game crash, the server crashes, and then it goes into like the character select screen of your character, and then it just pops up deleting character, and then it goes halfway through it, and then it crashes again, and then you just log back in, and it just says like error. Like I would have loved that. Imagine people's faces day one if that
I'd
had happened.
Cry.
Like,
even if they just made a cutscene that like let us interact, yeah. And it was just screwing with you and your first time through it, just like, popped you back to your character screen and said it was deleted. And you could like move your mouse around, and then after 20 seconds, you like pop back into the fight, and it was just like,
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, just like
I thought it was gone.
Iconic, but I'd be like so stressed.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, but he said for now, like they are not planning any kind of skip feature. Like they've looked at it, they've been torn on it. You know, I think that asking people to do this much story is just too much. And I think that we're going to get to the point where that's not true anymore. You can't have a game where the piece of content you're asking people to purchase is locked behind 1,000 hours of old stuff. And I don't know what the line is. You know, right now it's 400 hours. Okay. Is 400 hours acceptable? Maybe. But like, I think 1,000's too many. So like at what point are we now asking people to do 10-year-old content, 15-year-old content, 20-year-old content, and then push back through? Like that just starts to get a little ridiculous. You know, to enjoy a lot of these new hero movies, you don't have to go back and read every comic book. Your love of the movie should be deeper if you have. Your love of the movie, you know, if you listen to like Comic Story and talk about these movies, he's having a level of appreciation that is just so many beyond what I can because of his knowledge of the comics. And that can still be true. There can be people who are getting more out of this. They could be crying at a scene that you're not crying because they are more connected to what's happening. But it can't be, you're not welcome here without this 1,000-hour buy-in.
Definitely. I think like what was mentioned earlier about like buying the expansion and having the option there, because like what was said, we do have the new game plus and stuff. I think that that would definitely be such a huge opportunity, because I think about like I watched the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Well, I guess it's been a year, but like I didn't watch the prior movies, but I was able to get into that universe, into that movie, and actually enjoy it. Did I know all the context? No, definitely not. And there's some things that I was like, huh? But it's like, I really did still really enjoy it. It still was a really great movie. So I think like there definitely has to be that balancing act, because like what you said, it's just like, at what point does it become too much? Because I can tell you that there are people that I know that have explicitly bought a story skip because they're like, I want to raid with my friends. I don't care about any of this. They want me in DSR like today. Well, not literally today, but like next week. And it's like, we need to get go, and then it's like stress, and I'm like, why stress, Lendo? But
and me going through the story after the fact, going through it after I completed Endwalker, there are parts of the story that like I was going through dungeons that I had done dozens and dozens of times, going into zones, talking to NPCs that I've had hundreds of interactions with, and I was learning things about them where like, I'm not saying mine's the preferred way, but to say I couldn't enjoy my way, the first time I met Graha, like, and started reading lore was in Endwalker. So now picture when I went back and did the Crystal Tower series and met Graha, not for my first time, but for my character's first time. And he's saying, I hope I see you again. And I'm crying because, like, I know I'll see you again. Like, I know the future, right? So, like, I would argue, like, there's not even, like, a right order. You know, there's maybe a recommended order because we think it will be the most enjoyable for the widest variety of people. But being in the game from 2.0 till now and just now going back and doing story, and that will still be true at 10.0, you know, you've imagine you clear top and then you go do Omega.
Oh, that'd be
true. It's still a very enjoyable way to do it. Not the same joy as doing Omega then clearing top, but it would still be something. You'd be like, whoa, like, because you're from the future.
Oh god, imagine skipping, I think it's, isn't it DSR that has that phase with the person?
Yeah, and you don't even know that. You don't know the memes, you don't know anything. Yeah. Like, you're just whatever.
Imagine if you'd if the story skipped and did that, you're like, I'll try, this is a new one, I'll try that. And then you see that and you're like, oh, that's sad. And then you go back to actually play Heaven's Ward and you're like, oh god.
Who's this guy that I'm protecting? Why does this matter?
And then
why is he here?
You know there's not going to be the time alteration, and you're playing it through and you see that stuff happen, and you know just how helpless you are in that moment, because you've already done the fight that kind of twists it. I think there's no wrong way to play this game. And the idea that you should have to do the story before you want to, not saying you ever have to want to, but if when you join the game, you do not want to, then don't. And if you change your mind on that down the road, it's still here. Because one of the hard things about the skips and a lot of these things is it kind of breaks things. I would rather it just be incomplete quests. Going back through on the like, whatever you call it, not the never ending journey. Is it never ending journey? Whatever. Going back through on the replay again, it's not the same.
New game plus?
Yeah, new game plus. I would rather that be an unstarted quest on the map. I don't think.
Yeah, that was my, you know? Someone said about the WoW expansions, where is it? Slinky Rock. Please make it. I was hoping that we would be able to skip until 7.0 with Dawn Trail for new players, but then have NPCs that will start the original quest lines for the expansions scattered around specific zones that the expansions are mostly relevant to. So have like an NPC in Limsa, Uldar, and Gridania that will allow you to start the 2.0 storyline. Have an NPC in Ishgard for the 3.0. Have an NPC in Ralga's Reach for 4.0. Have an NPC, you know, you understand what I mean. Like, have an NPC in the main cities of specific areas.
Honestly, I want that for 7.0 just because, like, for many of us, you will not have. I mean, if you cleared 5.55 on the day,
yeah,
like, it's been months. So, previously on would be welcome just for those of us that have slept since then. that would be a welcome thing. You know, it might be, wow, I'm going to log in a couple days before. I'm going to do all the previously on. I'm going to do the 2.0, 3.0.
Wait, content creators allowed to sleep?
And so, like,
when was I not told this?
I would love if they just kind of had that ability to go back and watch summaries of previous expansions. There was a rumor many years ago, so it never came to be. So it obviously wasn't somebody like breaching NDA or anything, because it never happened, that they were working on this, that they were working on, you know, some format. Could be like a little YouTube series or something like that, where there was this little mini ability to watch through the game, like just previously on Final Fantasy 14. And just the ability to go back and say, okay, like I want to watch the story. Like if I watch all of these cinematics by this point, let's say it's like an hour and a half. Like I would sit down the morning before launch and I would watch the full hour and a half.
I mean, you have the book, right?
So
you have the book. Yeah, we can.
But if you go to the reason I didn't do it the first time is I don't like reading. So like,
I thought you could rewatch stuff there.
Oh, you can rewatch old cinematics in your inn.
Yeah.
There are huge gaps between them. Because I tried that. So when I had been a story skipper, I had multiple of these suggestions. Well, you can just go and like, I tried that and I was like, I don't know what any of this stuff means. I don't know who any of these people are. There's too much left in the non-voice acted scenes. Like if you just skip all but the cinematics, you're lost. If you skip all but the voice acted scenes and the cinematics, you're still lost. Like you have to click through this. There's also an incredible amount of lore in the dialogue. Like in, I think it's the monk quest. There's like this whole little side thing where he like explains all these conflicts that are referenced. So like the game is enormous lore wise. Even people who have just consumed the MSQ are still missing a lot.
I'd agree with that. Yeah.
One day, perhaps the peak.
It's a huge.
I know we learned a little bit, but still.
And if you're forced to do it, you're not going to take it seriously. So you're not going to process it. You're just going to blast through it. So like, even if your goal is to get people to enjoy the story of 14, you should not be forcing people into it. You should say, okay, come and enjoy whatever you want. And then once I've got you hooked, once I've got you going, well, what's this Omega character? You can go, you know, the Omega quest line, you could do Unsynced and you could do it in like an afternoon. Like you could just even from somebody who loves the lore, subversively, you gain more lore lovers by just letting them come to it on their own instead of shoving it down their throats on day one.
I don't know. I definitely agree with that. There's something about like self-motivation in that kind of situation that gets like the curiosity interested, and then someone's like even more engaged in it.
Just fast track the story, have dungeons that teach them stuff. Yeah, something. World of Warcraft has a lot less of a condensed story to cover. It's a little more scattered, but they kind of did this with their little starter zone, and they kind of like introduce you to a brief conflict and it gets you some base ideas. So if they could kind of introduce you to what an Ascian is and stuff like that, then when you get the big story beats, you're like, okay, I got it. But on that note, guys, it's time to transfer to 20 questions. Ooh. So you guys have anything else on lore before we move on?
No, I definitely think that I'm excited to see Dawn Trail and excited to see the evolution of the game. I'm curious to see how they tackle the problem, because I definitely think that we're getting to that point where it's like, we need to talk about this.
Yeah. How do you make it feel today about making monotonous is also like a big problem with that.
There's a couple of things I want to bring up quickly before we move on. Mm-hmm. They showed off pictures of the new jobs again. And the new illustrations drawn by, I'm sorry if I'm going to pronounce this name wrong, by Yusuke Mogi on Twitter. And now my big worry has popped up again. Like, I do not play Hrothgar, and for anyone that does, you know, I'm sorry for what is about might happen. But the Picto Monster has a hat, and the Hrothgar, as I like to call them, lacks the standard hood that every other Viper art has.
Yeah.
And every other Viper art has indeed a hood. And this Hrothgar does not indeed have a hood. So that, with the fact that the Hrothgar,
to go see it.
For the fact that the Hrothgar in the trailers also lacked hoods and hats, I thought, okay, maybe they don't have the hoods and hats because the graphics engine hasn't been finalized yet, and that's part of the graphics engine. And, you know, Copium, even though I don't play it, I'm Copium for the people that do play it, because I want them to enjoy hats and hoods.
I want to enjoy more hats and hoods too. Like, from the
article, I want you to enjoy hats and hoods.
Right? But from the article, Yoshi-P does say that they're trying to, like, expand the, like, armory of hats that we can wear. So
can we not just do the cool looking ones first? Can we first go back and do all the quest items? Because when go back and do story, I did them as a Roth. And the idea that I have to put a hat on for a quest, and that if I don't have the hat equipped, the quest is not doable, but then the hat does not display. Frustrated me to no end.
It's very off-putting. It's like, what?
I'm just saying, like, I would rather that than the Viper hood work. And I understand that may not be how everybody feels. And I always feel
But the Viper hood should be priority. Just because
anything new come in and not work. I understand why backwards compat, but like from the get-go, stop.
By the way, this is just guesswork based on artwork. And
like I've been trying to do not my here. And it's like, oh, okay. But then I'm like bringing more crap in. Stop bringing new crap in until you get the new office reorganization done. This isn't done because I pulled my back in January and it still hurts.
But that sucks. But no, this again is based on guesswork, based on art. We don't know. We don't have any official confirmation, but it makes me worry a little bit. And so I wanted to bring that up. Sorry.
I'm totally excited too. But I think just one thing I want to say as someone who does play Hrothgar, and I don't speak for all Hrothgar players, but I think that the developers are very worried about like clipping issues. And I can say as a Hrothgar, I don't care about clipping issues. Like if our ears clip the hat a little bit, I'm fine with that. If our hair clips it a little bit, I'm totally fine with that. I'll take any hats. The clipping issues do not bug me.
I'm going to go even further. They've had hats, limited hats for so long. I want in Dawn Trail to be a couple of hats that are specifically only visible on Hrothgar and Vera. No one else. Just give them some exclusive hats.
My tail clips through some things as a Makote, and then like in my pig suit, my tail gets removed. Like it's just bundled up inside the suit.
Right.
And so like clearly they have the ability to either disable things or let them clip. And with on an item by item basis, just say, is this a clippable item or is this not a clippable? And like, we'll just, you know, just basically effectively hide the ears and that's it. And like, if they fit goofy, people won't use them. But like the idea that they can't fit at all, if it fits goofy, it fits goofy. And just say, hey, report to us the ones the goofiest and we'll get to those when we can. But for now, we're just mass letting a lot of these apply and they're going to be weird. Like they're going to be weird. But instead having nothing display drives me nuts. Because there are masks that like, are way out in front of people's face and stuff. So like, it's not like the game was so perfect. Like, we have to maintain our same fidelity. Like, you already gave that up. So just let them equip.
Right? So I'd love that. And I swear, I feel like the developers just don't do it because they're so worried about this. And I can say, please give any. Because there's some hats that Hrothgar can use that does have some hair clip in with like the hair that I currently use. Like, it's like there's like a beret and like there's a jagged piece of hair that sticks out just a tiny bit. I am fine with that.
They let us put giant butts on a mommy. Like, clearly they're not worried about what gets posted to the internet. They would have just thought about that. So I think it's fine. But let's get to this game.
One last thing. Before you've got until March 28th to enter this, they're giving away a Xbox Series X Aetherite console where it looks like an Aetherite and it looks really cool. This competition is only available, I think, on Twitter, and it's only available in US, Canada, and Mexico. But just a heads up, the console itself is not playable. The console is an art piece. You cannot use the console. It is just a decorative thing. But if you do win, you will win a Xbox Series X that is a standard one that is usable. So you will get an Xbox X, but you will also win this custom Series X, which is just for art. And you also get 12 months of Game Pass Ultimate, which you need for playing 14. Well, you need Core, but Ultimate includes Core, so.
I'm going to quote tweet this, and I'm supposed to say hashtag Xbox.
Xbox sweepstay.
Holy. There it is. The whole thing.
My Xbox, you can put the Aetherite hot seat. What do you mean that?
There it is.
This is just a glamour piece. Slinky Rock.
Follow two channels I'm already following and then tweet this to get a chance for a goofy thing that I don't need in my life. Done. All right.
I do hope the controller is playable though. I hope the controller is usable because
it's cool.
That should be usable.
Yeah, it's cool. I don't know why they had to make a Series X out of it. Like, if it's going to be unplayable, why not use the cheaper console? Like, what? It just feels so wasteful. But okay. Done. All right. You guys ready? 20 questions.
Yep.
Yep. Ready.
I got my game up. First question.
Would you like to go first, Cole? I'm on here often, so.
I'm nervous about playing it. You go first. I'm nervous.
You got this, Cole. I believe in you.
So I just asked any question about the game?
Well, any game, anything about games. It's any game.
Any trying to broaden it down from every video game
that could ever exist ever.
Released.
Okay, so I think that my first question would be, oh God, I don't even know. Well, you said that you play Hrothgar, and I am going to keep it to 14 for at least this question. What's your favorite hat that you can actually wear on Hrothgar?
Yes or no questions only.
Oh, yes or no questions, and it's about any game, so you'd have to ask about 14.
Shoot, okay.
We're trying to work out what game he's thinking of, as in, like, what, like, it could be Final Fantasy IX, it could be, I don't know, Ridge Racer, it could be Wipeout, those are all PlayStation-based games, I'm sorry, but those are the things I think of first. Red Alert, I guess.
Throw a question out there, Johnny.
Okay. Is the game... Go away, Bing. Don't care about you. Is the game out... Was it released after the 2000s?
It was released after the year 2000.
Okay, Cole.
Is it made by Square Enix?
It is not made by Square Enix.
Ooh.
It's two.
Let's try and shrink down the generations a bit more. Was the game released after 2010?
No, it was not released after 2010.
Oh, shoot.
So okay.
Before 2010.
Now, when I say after 2000, sorry, this might, does this count the question? Do you count 2000 when I say that? Or when I say after 2000, do you start from 2001?
After January 1st of 2000 and before January 1st of 2010.
Okay, so you count 2000 in that window.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's how I hear that question.
Yeah, no worries. I just wanted to make sure. I wasn't sure if you were counting from 2001.
Okay.
Sorry.
So I'm going to ask a kind of different question. Is it like a shooter game?
It is not a shooter.
Okay.
Well,
so
that
2000
is not its primary genre definition.
Okay.
Well, okay. I'll count. It's a shooter.
Oh, okay.
It's a shooter. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so
it's a shooter.
It's between 2000 to 2010, not Square Enix. That means it's PS2, Xbox, PS3, GameCube. Dreamcast was over by then, I think, right? Or at least going over. I think Dreamcast was pretty much dead by 2000s, I think.
I'm actually not sure on those.
And of course, PC. Like, PC. So it's a shooter. Was it a Western pop developer?
Developer?
Yeah, like, who made the game?
Yes, the developer is based in the West.
So, Europe, North America, and so forth.
Yeah.
Ooh. Trying to think of a good question. Okay, so it's based in the West, not spurring the next one, and that makes sense. And
chat's quiet on this one.
Oh, sorry.
No, chat's quiet.
Is its theme sci-fi?
Is its theme sci-fi? I don't think of it as sci-fi.
Okay.
No.
Okay, that kind of rules out one of the games I was thinking of. But I kind of want to double check because it depends on what you view on sci-fi. Because is it a more puzzle based? I know you said there's a shooter, but is it puzzle based? Is there a lot of puzzles?
Yes, there are puzzles, and you must pass obstacles. Count that as six. That gets you.
Oh, that was six. I would seven.
Like the previous was five. I'll just round those together because I'm not super confident in my sci-fi answer. It's not clearly sci-fi, but that feels mean. Just in case you feel differently.
Absolutely.
So we'll count that as six.
Okay.
Gosh, I can't think. Nothing's coming to mind. No.
You got to get it narrower.
Yeah.
Okay, I know one question that would lower it down if it is the game I'm thinking of. But, Carl?
I'm trying to think about how to even, trim it down from here. Shoot.
The problem is I probably trimmed it so much down in my head that if I've got it wrong, I'll have no idea.
Oh, no. Okay, I'll ask this. Was it a console exclusive?
Yes, it is an exclusive.
Okay.
That's seven.
Well, it's definitely not the game I was thinking of then. Because the game I was thinking of, I think, released on PC first and then eventually came. I can't remember if it came to other consoles. I can't remember what. Yeah, it came to a lot of consoles. Never mind.
Also, we're not allowed to Google anything, right?
You can Google.
Oh, I can? Okay.
You don't have the answer, so it's not going to help you. I mean, it might help, but you're welcome to Google if you're questioning here.
I just wanted to Google to see which consoles this came out, because I remember it coming out on a console, but I couldn't remember if it came out.
I'm starting to toss in guesses. I don't know which chats you guys have up, so I'll just post things that people say.
I just saw that, but that wasn't console exclusive, was it? And I wouldn't consider that. No. Or was it console exclusive? It was, wasn't it? Okay, how about this? Can you play it with backwards compatibility?
Can you play it with backwards compat? God, I would think so. Let me check.
I didn't even put that in my... I've got a notepad open. And can you play with backwards compatibility? God, I'd think so. It's now written down. Because that's a good one, each flounder. You're right, actually.
You could play it on at least one console released after it came out. I don't know if you can play it on current gen hardware. I don't think you can play it on current gen hardware.
Okay.
Yes, you can. Play it on the PS4.
Okay, well, that
limits too much. That's eight.
Yeah, that was going to say there's a bit too much there.
Yeah, a bit too much. We know. Was reading.
We know now. We can't. We're definitely not going to say, is it Gears of War now? Because
can't read and keep a secret at the same time.
Well, if it's backwards compatible, then technically it can't be PS3 because PS3 games can't play on anything apart from PS3. So we know it couldn't be PS3 titles because unless you're counting cloud, which case. That can then, no, because that doesn't count because PS5 has access to PS3 cloud gaming. PS4 has access to PS3 cloud gaming. So technically, if it's available in the cloud, it would be available on 4 and 5. So.
Oh, I have an idea, but I don't want to just say it. It's kind of like the only idea that's coming to mind.
You have a lot of questions left, so you want to keep it on.
Oh, shoot.
Well, we know it's a shooter.
Mm-hmm.
So. Does the title of the game have one of the characters' names and at least one of the characters' names in it?
Yes. That's nine.
I think I might own. Does it have?
Oh, I think. Oh. I mean. Sorry, I'm writing them down so I know what we've said. Is it third person?
Yes, it's third person. That's 10.
So I'm going to ask something that might be way too specific. Is that okay, Julie?
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Does it have specifically two characters' names in the title?
Yes. That's 11.
Okay, I think I know what it is. I think I do, but I'm scared.
Yeah, I don't want to say it because you probably also want to say the same title. So I'll let you, sure, you go. You go for it.
Ratchet and Clank.
There it is.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Oh.
Cool. All right. We went a little long today because we had a crazy amount of Final Fantasy news to cover.
Oh, yeah. I would be questioned about the sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, it's true.
It's got sci-fi elements. It's book. Right. Yeah.
But it's not a.
I'll be honest. You know what my first guess was? You know what my first guess was for a first-person shooter that was Western-based, puzzle-based, and sci-fi in between 2001 and 2010?
What?
Portal.
Okay.
Oh.
I was thinking Portal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
all right.
One of my questions was going to be really specific. I was going to be like, does it involve a companion tube? By the way, I have one of those in real life. I love my companion cube.
Well, thank you both. We'll go to Cole first. What are you working on and where can people find you?
Yeah, so my YouTube is going to be Cole Evix, and that's primarily where I do content. I'm not going to lie, I don't really stream or anything. A lot of people ask me if you see Cole Evix on Twitch, that isn't me. But yeah, so I just mostly do videos looking at covering news content, hopefully some more guides, looking forward to Dawn Trail. And yeah, that's where I'm at and super excited.
Chili, what you got coming up?
I'll be streaming some more Fantasy VII Rebirth tonight over on twitch.tv/MugglerHamRadio. We do a podcast every 2 weeks where we talk about Fantasy XIV. We just had Sam Talks TV on last week. He is a professional esports host for Valorant, World of Warcraft, Overwatch, and he's dabbled in some Final Fantasy XIV stuff in the past as well. And then we have our YouTube channel, Moogle Go Around, on where we post our VODs and our podcasts from the Twitch streams because Brian keeps telling me off if I don't.
Awesome. Well, we're trying to do 50 of these shows this year. And so even when Brian's out, I'll be here. And when I'm out, hopefully Brian will be here. So we're going to try to, we set ourselves 50 instead of 52 so that we don't have to have perfection, but we're trying to get as close as we can. It's going to get really exciting.
And I promise you all, I will not be on all 50.
News season. News. So we're moving into proper news. We'll talk about 14. I appreciate you guys both being here. If you guys want to go wish Aorzean Archives get well soon. Elio's having trouble bouncing back. So I think he's got some long running symptoms there. Got a little sick. And we will see you guys next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.